I take a breath.
Bless you, brother. We're praying for you.
It is, it's good to be back here with y'all this morning. It's been right at a year, I guess, since we've been gone, a little over a year, and we have missed y'all. I was trying to think this morning, and I've been, even during the singing this morning, it's emotional a little bit for me, and you think about the things you miss, and the singing is one of the things that we miss. Not that they don't sing where we're at, but it's a little bit different. And then some of the songs that are special to you, like that last one, as long as I live, that's always going to be Sister Eileen's song to me. I'm sorry. It's a special thing to me. As I stand here this morning, and you know, we are surrounded by a lot of things going on in our lives this morning, and just how we separate those things from us when we come into the house of the Lord this morning. And I know that Tracy and the girls have heard this a lot, because I talk on it sometimes when I'm put up out there. Is we travel to churches out there, because no church meets every Sunday, so it's a little bit different. We go to three different churches depending on which Sunday it is. Sometimes it's hard to keep track of, and it's hard to remember which churches are doing lunches on which Sundays, because we have showed up bringing lunch in Pensacola, Florida. We're not having lunch today. Well, somebody's going to eat. You know, we brought something. So it's always interesting when you travel around and you're learning new song books and learning people. And but I will tell you that, you know, it was true in The Wizard of Oz, and it's true now. There's no place like home. I think Tracy and the girls will agree this is, you know, this isn't the church that we grew up in, but this church is home to us.
Amen.
And the people here, this is our church family. And even though we make good friends out there, and there are good people in our churches, this is our church family. And it's okay to say we miss you, I think.
You'll have a reason to come back regularly.
Yeah. Yeah, we are entrusting our daughter to you. And is one of the things that people out in the world do not understand is what a church home is, and what a church home means to God's children, and to have that church home. When you don't have that home and you're a child of God, you yearn for it, and you look for it, and you find it. One of the things that gives us peace with leaving Katie here is we know she has a church home and a church family. We know she has worldly friends and a worldly family out there, even in this part of the country, that loves her and cares for her, but they're not her church family. We know that she has a church home here. You know, people laugh at us, and I know y'all have heard this story before. When Tracy and I got transferred here, the first thing we didn't look for was a house to live in. We looked to see where we were going to be able to go to church. And, you know, we found this church. When we got transferred out there, when we went out there to look for houses, we drove around within, you know, however far it was, and we went and found each church. Because at the time, we didn't know that this church only met first and third, this one met second and fourth, and this one only met on second. But we went and we found the churches where we wanted to be, because we knew we had to have a church where we were at. Because that is an important part of being a child of God. You know, the Bible tells us not to forsake gathering of ourselves one to another. And there's a reason for that. And Tracy, or girls, act like y'all have never heard this before, even though I talked about this last Sunday at one of the churches that we go to in Spring Hill. And I had to find where it was, but we look. See, I was over in Numbers, I think, or was that in Leviticus? I was over in Numbers, and I was telling them, you know, sometimes Numbers is not the easiest book in the Bible to read. Unless you're a lawyer, like Brother Don here, he probably likes Numbers a lot. It's probably his one of his faves to go to. But it can be hard to read, but it's worthy of study. When we're out there in the world, I kind of, you know, we're talking about being in spiritual warfare all the time. And then we come to the house of God after we have been in spiritual warfare. But if you look back in Numbers in the 31st chapter, in a little bit of context, and that's the other good thing too I've learned, you know, if you're just opening, you ain't got to talk but for like 10 minutes, then I can give it to Brother Don to clean up everything else. And that's another one too. You miss the jokes, the inside jokes you have with the people in your church. Nobody, when I talk about being a fry cook or flipping burgers out there, nobody knows what I'm talking about, but everybody here knows we had a burger flipper and a guy doing the fries, and I forget what Brother Joe was doing, what he said he was doing whenever we would stand before you and speak. Nobody gets that one out there without a lot of explanation. But a little bit of context in the 31st chapter of Numbers, the Israelites were at war with the Midianites. Midianites, I can't, however you pronounce it. And one of the things that I was talking about is when these people were in battle, you know, not that any warfare is pleasant, but when you think about the kind of warfare these people were engaged in, it was face to face, nose to nose, within arm's length of one another. And you think about the toll that took on their minds, not much less their bodies and their spiritual well-being. And after they had done this, they weren't allowed just to come back into their camps. They had to cleanse themselves, and it took a period of time. They had to cleanse themselves. They had to cleanse their prisoners because of what they had been through. I think there was an emotional cleansing they had to do, a spiritual cleansing they had to do before they could come back into their camps, into their house of God. And I think about, do we do that sometimes? Because I can tell you the warfare that we face out there in the world is no different than the spiritual warfare that they were fighting. It's a dirty, nasty, up close, in your face business. We look around, we take examples of what, you know, just happened in El Paso yesterday and then in Ohio a few hours later. You know, the things that we're faced with out in this world are horrible things. So how do we cleanse ourselves and prepare ourselves to come into the house of the Lord? Because that should be our prayer this morning, that we're able to separate those things of the world when we come into the house of the Lord, that we're able to set those things aside and only concentrate on the things we should be concentrating on in His house. And it's hard to do. It's hard for us to separate ourselves from the world when we're walking in the world, like we're forced to do. I mean, we have to work. We have to go buy groceries. We have to get out of the house. We can't stay in our compound and just be sheltered and protected as much as we would like to. If we ever suddenly become independently wealthy, maybe we'll build a Primitive Baptist compound out here, and we can just have our groceries flowing in, you know, or Amazon can bring us stuff with their drones, you know, whatever we need to do to separate ourselves. But right now, it's hard for us to separate ourselves. And I'm trying to, I can't remember if I ever read this here or not in the 51st Psalm. In the 10th verse of the 51st Psalm. And I was just, you can go back to Numbers when you have time if you want to read about their battles and the cleansing period that they had before they came back into camp. But in the 51st Psalm, starting in the 10th verse, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now, and we know one of the blessings that we have is when he's in the 12th verse, when the psalmist is saying, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. We understand that he's talking about our salvation now. We understand that he's not talking about our eternal salvation. And, you know, we're blessed as Primitive Baptists to be able to understand that. But we also understand that we have a time salvation that we are able to experience on this earth right now. And, you know, I know you've heard me say this here before. You know, we know when we're not enjoying that salvation. We know when we walk outside of that. You know, I know I've said this here before, that there's I saw a billboard one time, you can't walk with Jesus while you're holding hands with the devil. You know, and sometimes I think we try to do that outside in our day-to-day lives, but we know when we are outside of our salvation here, and we feel it. And the reason we feel it is because we are a child of God. And you know when you're outside of that, and you can feel it, and you know where you are to go. We understand that the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God, rather, is not meat or drink. We understand that it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's what we have here. And that's why it's so important for us to be able to cleanse ourselves before we come into the house of God. I know I said this last week. If I prepared for work like I prepared to come to church, I'd been fired a long time ago. You know, if you think about the amount of time you spend preparing for your job, or the amount of time you spend on your job, the things that you do for your job, and then you compare that to the amount of time you spend studying or getting ready to come to church, a lot of times if we were looking at scales, it probably wouldn't balance out. So how do we prepare ourselves? How do we defend ourselves from that spiritual warfare that we face every day? Now, the blessed thing to know is that we understand that as children of God, we can never be separated eternally from our God. And we understand that. But we can sure be chastised on this earth. Amen. And we can sure pay for the stupid things that we do on this earth. And we understand that. We understand that we are blessed, that we're never going to get what we deserve, so to speak. You know, if we got what we deserved, we'd be in a bind. One of the ways that we prepare ourselves is we understand, and I had some other psalms here marked. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Yeah, I don't have a lot of confidence in, I guess, what we would contemporarily consider a prince now. When we look at our political leaders, I really don't have a whole lot of confidence in them, seeing what goes on in this world. It's a scary thing to me. The other thing I had when I did think about this, and I didn't get to talk about it as much the other day as I wanted to, a couple things that I missed, and I know I've talked about this here before, is over in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, when we talk about preparing ourselves for that spiritual warfare and making sure we're clean here, you know, how do we do that? And who are we fighting against? We have all read and studied about the whole armor of God in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, starting in the 10th verse of the sixth chapter. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That kind of goes back with not trusting the princes, right? When you look at the things that happened yesterday, these are not normal people. These are people that are driven by the spiritual wickedness, or the spiritual darkness. And, you know, we have no idea where it comes from for them, other than we know it comes from the devil. But those are they showed pictures of them this morning. I think I was looking at Fox News, and you can look at them and tell they're just not right. Those are the things that are out there, and who knows what was influencing them, but we do know that the darkness of this world, and just going further on down, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And then jumping over to the 20th verse, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, not meekly or ashamed of anything, but to be able to speak boldly. You know, one of the things that I've talked about in my travels, when someone's asked me if I mind speaking, I said, no, you know, I don't mind speaking. I think that's part of my reasonable service to the Lord, that a man that ought to be able to stand, and while I'm not a preacher, I ought to be able to go and take something out of God's Word and bring something out, even if it's just standing and reading scriptures, something from God's Word. But I ought to be able to do that boldly and not be ashamed to stand before God's people and do that. And I think that's any of us here ought to be able, as part of our reasonable service. You know, just as part of our reasonable service to the Lord this morning was getting up and making it here.
Amen.
It's in which sometimes you think maybe it's not that reasonable. You know, you think to yourself sometimes that is it really reasonable? Is it really going to matter if I'm there? And I can promise you it matters if you're there. You know, that's another interesting thing in the differences in churches. We never know who we're going to see from Sunday to Sunday because we don't know who's traveling from church to church. So half the time I don't even know who's a member at what church or where we're seeing them at. But when you don't see the people that you expect to see, they're missed very, very, very much. I would encourage you, as we go through, going back through the whole armor, when we have to protect ourselves, stand therefore having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And we understand that there's nothing righteous within us. We understand where that righteousness comes from and that protection comes from. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, with a preparation. You have to prepare yourself. You know, if you go into something, you know, and I'll, you know, this is just an easy example to use. You know, if your children go in and take a test and they didn't start studying but an hour before the test, they're not prepared. They may pass it, but they weren't prepared for it. We have to prepare ourselves. And we understand that. And we understand what we have to use to prepare. It's been given to us. And we have been given an understanding of it. And we also have that understanding that we should study to show ourselves worthy or... I just lost that there for a second. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewithin you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God was there before anything else. We understand that we've learned that in Genesis. Before there was anything, there was God. There was the Word of God. And that's one of the things that when you read this, you study, there's offensive weapons and there's defensive things. The shield and the breastplate are defensive things to protect you. The sword is an offensive thing that you can use to protect yourself. Not that you want to go pick a fight using the Word of God, but when you get into a fight, you've got that to protect yourself. And if you don't know how to use it, or don't know what it is, it doesn't do you a lot of good. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, again, to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, we look around at our church families, and we understand we have to take care of one another. We have to pray for one another. I think it's over in Galatians a little bit more. It talks about sharing each other's burdens. In how we should conduct ourselves with each other. And I know you've heard me say this before. This is the only church family you got. This is your spiritual family. And I can tell you, I didn't tear up when I went and saw my family last week. I teared up when I came here. Because this, your spiritual family many times is closer to you than your natural family. For whatever reason, because you share the same beliefs, you share a different feeling with your spirit, with your spiritual family. You share a different bond. You have a bond in the Word of God. You have a bond in the songs that you want to sing. No one made you come here this morning. You wanted to be here this morning. You didn't just come here this morning because you heard we were in town. You came here this morning because this is where you ought to be this morning, in service of the Lord. When we talk about preparing ourselves and defending ourselves, we talk about prayer. Is, you know, preparing, what did we pray for this morning before we got here? You know, were we praying for our other churches? Were we praying for one another? And I can tell you, just like I tell people anywhere I speak, I'll never talk to you about things that I think I do great. You know, I'll never stand in front of any congregation and say, hey, do this like I do it because I do it great. I don't think that's the right thing to do. And two, it's just not me. Most of the time, I'm always going to talk about things I struggle with, because I think if I struggle with them, then probably some other children of God struggle with them too. There are a couple things I struggle for. One is I'm not a great prayer sometimes. And two, I'm not good at keeping in touch. I'm bad about that. And I apologize for that. A lot of times I depend on Tracy and Facebook to keep me updated on what's going on with people. Because it's emotional for me to stay in touch sometimes, because I do miss people so much. But praying, I really have no excuse for. Sometimes I just don't feel, I just don't pray like I ought to sometimes. For for whatever reason, and I don't know, I know other people struggle with that sometimes as well. And really, we have a guide how to pray. We're told how to pray. And one of my favorite ones is over in Matthew 6:6, starting in the sixth verse. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, many times I have tried that, you know, actually when you have space for a physical prayer closet, but to me sometimes it's being able to shut yourself off from the world and do that. And it doesn't matter where you're at, you can shut yourself off from the world anywhere when you go to the Lord in prayer. And, you know, he tells us in the context in Matthew 6:6 is, you know, he's telling them basically not to be like the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the things that they would do to, you know, in their prayers because it made them look good. And, you know, it tells them, and basically they were praying to have the glory of men. And that's, you know, he calls them hypocrites. You know, we don't pray for other people to hear us pray. We don't pray in vain repetition. You know, we don't have a prayer that I pray and then you respond back to me in the church. You know, we pray from our heart, and we pray what's on our hearts and our minds, and we understand that the Lord knows what we need before we ask for it. But it's important for us to go to the Lord in prayer. It's good, you know, to have somebody to talk to understand that we don't have to pray through anyone. You know, we don't have to go seek another person in between us and the Lord. We understand that we can pray to the Lord. And it goes on down in verse 8. Be you not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask. You know, there's an old country song years ago, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. You think about when you were young, some of the things you prayed for, you know, if that had come true, you know, where would you be right now, or what would you be doing? You know, the Lord knows what we need before we ask. And that prayer is an important part of cleansing yourself. And you think about what you face out there every day in this old world. The horrible things that we see, the horrible things that we hear. Just, you know, I likened it a lot of times just to the dirt and grime that you acquire from being out doing a hard day's work. And you come home and you're able to take a shower, and it just feels good to get all that off of you. I know everybody in this room has worked hard in their lives and done things where you go out and you just get nasty. Tracy used to laugh at me when I worked in the paper mills. A lot of times you would get into stuff that you couldn't get off your clothes. I'd just have to come home and strip down and either put them in a bucket or just throw them away because there was no cleansing that from them. But we're blessed to understand the Lord can cleanse us of anything. The Lord knows what we need. We understand that the Lord has forgiven us for our sins, and we understand that we don't have to do, He did that work for us before the foundation of the earth. But we also know that we have that duty and that obligation to try to separate ourselves as his children from the world, because we also understand that he died for the sins of his people, those that were given to him. And the Bible tells us he's never going to lose any of those. He'll never lose one that his Father gave to him. And we understand that nothing can separate us from God. You know, nothing. But we understand how we feel when we try to separate ourselves. And we understand when we've been out in battle, out in that world, how it feels. We understand that this is the place that we come back to recharge ourselves. And, you know, we talk about recharging our spiritual batteries and getting them back going. This is where we come to fellowship with the people we ought to be spending our time with, you know, the people that we love. This is that place. And I can't, it's just a blessing to be able to be here with you this morning. I know I'm probably rambling about what I'm trying to talk about this morning, because it is emotional to stand with before people you haven't seen in a long time, people that you love, because we love y'all. That has never changed. The 16-hour drive doesn't change the fact that we love you and we love this place. And when I say I really think this is always going to be our church home, I mean that. But I hope maybe something I brought to you this morning wasn't just rambling. And it made sense, and there's some understanding to it. I'll turn it back over to Brother Don.